So our text for this morning's meditation is from Galatians chapter 5. These words, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, much has been made of late in the news and on the internet. Much has been made of late about people just getting along. In other words, about people just learning to live alongside of each other without ignoring each other, without hating each other, without killing each other. As we hosted our friend from Germany a few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to talk with her about the tensions there in her home country, tensions caused by the influx of immigrants more than ever before. Immigrants that make up almost 10% of the population now in Germany. Of course, this has been a topic of conversation here as well, hasn't it? With over 60 languages now being spoken within the Spring Lake Park School District. That's a school district based in a town of little over 6,000 people. 60 languages. Yes, the new ethnic restaurants that have popped up around here, they're nice, but the driving habits of drivers who learn to drive in another country, they can be hard to anticipate sometimes, can't they? There are, of course, the issues of dress and habits and customs, things we haven't seen before. We're only seen on television. Of course, race has been an issue here in the U.S. since the 1960s, as well as the question of women, that is, women's rights. I remember as a child hearing about the Equal Rights Amendment, which at that time was all the rage, garnered much press. Now, obviously, we have the issue of gender, don't we? It seems to be on the front burner. It can't be avoided, as even the buying of a taco at a local fast food restaurant can occasion the spotting of a pin on a hat that says, "Ask me about pronouns." Now, could be easy when reading our text from Galatians this morning, that is, that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Yes, it would be easy to hear this text and get carried off into the world of social justice and rights and privileges and immigration policies and just basic community. Why? Well, in order to live in any community, we must get along with the people in that community. Somehow, some way. Bear one another's burdens in this context would mean accept people for who they are, who they claim to be, and just go with it. That's really not what this text is about. We have other texts for that topic, such as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all. We have those texts. But this text is specifically about Christians, Christians within the Christian church who are struggling. Who are struggling with sin, who are struggling with the effects of sin, the consequences of sin in all its forces, and what we do with those people, our attitude towards them. Now note, first of all, that I said those who are struggling with sin, meaning those who acknowledge sin to, in fact, be sin and realize that that way of sin is not the way of Jesus Christ. But the way of sin, of course, is a broad way, a huge highway, which not only refers to things that we do or say or think, but also the consequences in our lives of the things we have done or said or thought, as well as our basic condition, our physical, our psychological, emotional condition, who we are, because we live in a creation which has been infected with sin. When I was a child, one of the more interesting people in our congregation in western Nebraska was a man who had a plate across the back of his skull. caused a huge flat spot there, a fascinating flat spot where you could see the blood pulsing under his skin, a spot that was there because of an injury suffered in World War II. In other words, the massive outbreak of sin, which is war, occasioned that man serving in the U.S. military and suffering the effect of that massive outbreak of sin, and that is a horrific wound, a fascinating deformity. That is fascinating for a five-year-old boy during a sermon. Another woman from my childhood had Parkinson's disease, so her hand shook constantly. She noted one day when I imitated her, that was embarrassing. There was a mentally retarded adult, the older sister of a girl in my confirmation class, and of course my brother, who was diagnosed with diabetes. I mean, the list could go on and on and on of the ravages of sin upon creation, those ravages with which we all suffer in one way or another. And what is our response to such things within the church, these ravages of sin in other Christians? Do we avoid them? Do we shun them? Do we flee from them? Well, of course not. What about family matters, family issues, family troubles, where sin has wreaked havoc there? Do we disengage from such situations out of fear that somehow we might be affected spiritually or infected, as the case may be? Do we hold other Christians in judgment for not being able to master life in some way, to master sin even in the way that we have? Or so it seems. Challenging thoughts. Challenging thoughts. And here again, the distinction must be made between those who knowingly embrace sin and those who struggle with sin and with sin's effects. And by sin's effects, again, we must include those effects that are, in fact, defects. Troubles. Physical, psychological, and social, which we have inherited in one form or another from our parents or grandparents. Yes, our tendency is to gravitate to those who are just like us in age and experience, education, social standing, skills, and abilities. Remember the 80s? We try to forget them, but remember them? Churches began to take advantage of this tendency back in the 80s, our tendency to gather people just like us around us with the forming of congregations made up solely of dinks. That is, dual income, no children people. It's an acronym. Married couples, no children. And such churches flourished. They didn't need programs for the elderly or Sunday schools, just the dinks. Well, they flourished until children started appearing. And that happens, you know. And people started to get older. Oops. And then what? Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's our text. Now, the law of Christ, what's that? Well, this is what Jesus said. A new commandment I give to you, a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So, what is this, 11 commandments now? No. What is new about this commandment of Jesus is that we are to fulfill the law, especially the second table of the law, in view of our fellow Christians. That is, we are to love each other as Christians and are to do so, to love each other as Christians, as Christ himself has loved us. And how did Christ do that? Christ did that by bearing with us. Bearing with our burdens by putting up with our inherent sinfulness, our sinful thoughts and words and actions, and the effect of those sinful thoughts and words and actions upon ourselves. Christ himself loved us by serving us, that is, engaging with us in order to help us to combat sin and its effects, and ultimately to overcome them through him. For even the Son of Man, Jesus said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, how is that understood, this giving of his life, this ransom given to us or given for us? Well, have this mind among yourselves, we read in Philippians. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Why obedient to death on the cross? Well, death died for us. A death died so that then we need not truly die, but simply may fall asleep to this world of sin and awake instantly in heaven where there is no sin. Christ's death was a death died in service to us so that the sin that causes each and every one of us to be different from each other, even to be repelling to each other. Yes, the death Christ died in service for us was so that sin could be removed from us once and for all, our sins forgiven, life and salvation granted, and even now as a pledge, as a foretaste, as a token of that future reality of sinlessness, Christ sends to us His Holy Spirit to combat sin within us. And in combating the sin within us, give us the strength to see sin being combated in all of the Christians around us. The fact of the matter is, each and every one of us, each and every one of us is sick. We're spiritually sick. And we'd have nothing but suffering and death in our future if our Savior Jesus Christ, our Good Samaritan, had not found us, picked us up with His Word, applied His Spirit to our wounds, and took us to the inn called the Holy Christian Church, in which we will remain the rest of our lives as patients. Patients recovering from the ravages of sin. Yes, yes, a good way to look at the church is that of a hospital in which we are all laying in bed, being ministered to, and that being so, in that this is so, as we look at one another, we should not see someone who is a healthy visitor come to see us as we alone suffer, but someone who is in the room next to us, in the other bed there, behind the dividing curtain, or someone in the room next door, or across the hall, or in a different ward. Imagine that. Imagine that, and that is, if we all next week, don't do this, but let's just imagine it. If next week we all came to church in hospital gowns, IVs hooked up to each and every one of us, those hospital socks on our feet. And as we arrived, we filed into church to worship, our one hand on the pole with the IV dangling from it and our Bible in the other. And then I would come in with my own IV, my own pole, my own gown, but I'd still have the stole, okay? You know, that struck me this last week, the thought as I went to see my doctor for a basic physical. You know, I went to see my doctor and, well, he wasn't there. My doctor had been there for at least the last 10 years. He wasn't there. What is more, what I heard is that he's out, and he's out because he himself is sick. Cancer, I heard. I thought, well, that can't be right. Doctors don't get sick, let alone suffer from something like cancer. But of course, doctors are also human beings in the same situation as the rest of us. Even though they're constantly helping us by serving us, by actually entering the room where we're sitting with some disease or problem and talking to us and helping us, that's what Christ did, right? And this is also what we ourselves as Christians are to do as we live in the church. As patients in the hospital of the Holy Spirit, known as the church again. And in the church, we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the creed.